It off with a little prayer. I hope nobody minds. This is for my benefit, this is for your benefit, and even for the people that don't want to know. Our loving Father Jehovah, who is in heaven, may your name be blessed. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day what we require, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Forgive us of our many trespasses and sins, and please teach us how to forgive others of their many sins and trespasses, and lead us always in your knowledge and wisdom. We ask this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm a witness to the nations, and I'm here tonight to speak about the recent transpirings down in the south part of North America, known as the Gulf of Mexico, through things I've come to realize. And at the same time, to be honest, to be brutally honest, started all of this for me is as usual. I'll put it to you like this. I'm a witness against these nations that it took me, a worm, a complete nothing, a laughing stock in my own neighborhood and surroundings, to the people who know me, a pity, a waste of time, drudge, garbage, snail scum, call it what you want. Funny, I'm a witness against you that it took me and those like me, because I'm not alone here, far from it. It took people like us to stand up and say enough is enough. This is disgusting. And we know what you're doing, and we're not going to put up with it anymore, and we're not going to accept it anymore. We're not going to accept you, or your reasonings, or your lies, or your fairy tales, or your Masonic freaked out religion. Is this understood? Isn't it amazing how it took somebody like me, a friggin' rotting piece of shit, to stand up and tell people what is right and what is wrong, and what they're supposed to be doing and paying attention to. It was over a year ago that I published the article about the money, to show you all that money is a joke, it's a lie, it's an image. It's the fangs of the vampire that suck you dry. It's a joke. It's not even worth anything anymore. You didn't want to understand it. You kept chasing after the money. No, as long as I'm okay. And now they're announcing it to you again that the money is worth nothing.
18th of June, and we are
but
talking about
play
the
a
financial
game
apocalypse
with you,
that's up.
And you're, so many out there are ready to go. So ready to go. With everything that is still happening now. Over a year ago, I published the articles about chemtrails, fluoride, vaccinations. Others have warned you all about Codex Alimentarius, the chemicals, pesticides, toxins, and poisons they're putting in your food, taking out nutrients, killing natural life, convincing you that it's a new science and a new way of doing things. None of you understood what a blessing that was given to all of us. I can speak from personal experience. It took a lot of weight off my shoulders to understand that I wasn't fully responsible for all the mistakes I had made in my life, because I had been sabotaged. I had been drugged. I had been sprayed like a cockroach. I had been picked like a voodoo doll full of poisons, bugs, chemicals, toxins. My food had been dummied down, turned into sand with rot in it, and you wondered why I didn't quite perform the way I was supposed to. So it was a blessing for me. It took away some of the responsibility. A true human who wants to deal with himself will continue on and deal with the fact of this, that I didn't do every sin in the world. I only did certain sins, just like every other person. Every other person proved themselves weak on some things, and strong on others. You know this because when they're strong on others and you can't, you're weak, you're jealous. Damn, how come they can stand up and I can't? And you're happy when it's something that you can stand up on. No, I don't have a problem with that. And it's the other one that's weak. That's why nobody's any better than anybody else. But I accepted that. I faced that. I've always faced that. I didn't run from it. Well, everybody still wants to run from it. When this blessing was given to us, then it was time to turn around and say, well, what sins did I prove weak on? Because those are my weaknesses. Since I didn't do every sin in the world, I'm not going to go around worrying about what I didn't do. If I didn't gamble, I'm not going to worry about it. If I didn't cheat, I'm not going to worry about it. Oh, but what if you did gamble? It doesn't matter if they fluoridated you and chemtrailed you. You gambled. That was your weakness. That's what you had to review and get right with your God in this last year and accept the responsibility for the decisions that you had made. Because I've said for a year, you can blame the other side as much as you want. You're going to take responsibility for when you didn't stand up for yourself and do what was right. And you grabbed any excuse that you could find or that they could give you to say it's all right. I'm a witness against everybody that has ignored that. All nations that continue to play folly until today. Now we hit this oil well, this oil volcano. And I was angry at myself because I was paying attention to the fact that it was like a supermarket or a grocery store or a shopping center announcement. Ding! Welcome, shoppers. Today's special, well, be advised, starting April 19th, every year, and following through to the 6th of May, it is Satanic Holidays. That's right, starting April 19th, and following through until the 6th of May, is Satanic Holidays. All rituals and sacrifices usually involve what we classify as blood. But I'm pretty sure that the Satanists, since we recognize our Lord Jesus by his shed blood in the month of March, and we use wine to symbolize it, well, now I understood why that group called themselves April Wine. Because what we'll call a satanic blood ritual sacrifice, I'm pretty sure the Satanists call on the 19th of April, April Wine. That's right, folks. I like to rock. Some like it hot. I like it. You like it. I like to rock. Yes, eh? And Satan certainly does like to rock our foundations. That's where the word rock from rock and roll came from. Because you got on like a demon-possessed person when you listen to the music. So the religious people said, he's rocking his foundation. And that demon's rolling all over him. Yes. Well, they punched into the Gulf of Mexico. I don't buy the line from certain individuals who say that these people didn't know and were not aware of what they were doing. Let's get one thing straight. I am a witness against these nations. We have had enough time now. And just as our Lord promised us, everything hidden has come out. Everything. So they are all Luciferians. They all go to Lucifer for their answers. That's who tells them and guides them and says, this is what decision you will make tomorrow. So I would, you know, tickle their mind. Saying, well, they didn't know for sure. Really? When I received that BP document, that government document from 2005, knowing how much was underneath that shelf, 3,000 million barrels of oil, 8,000 million barrels of natural gas, known in 2005 and in 2008, and you didn't know? Tell it to somebody who's an asshole, okay? It doesn't work. They go to their demons, their clairvoyance, and they were told what to do. But let me ask you this. What do you think that is down there? What do you think it is that they punched into? You see, when I was 9, 10 years old and they first started telling us fossil fuels and oil, they told us that plants and trees and stuff would make this carbonous form called coal. And they explained to us that the oil liquid, the petroleum, well, that was dead creatures like dinosaurs and animals and whales and stuff that got crushed under layers of rocks. Well, if you don't drain the blood from anything, yes, it's all returning to dirt, it's all returning to dust, but so is the blood. And all the fluids, they get soaked into the ground. So even the Bible told you, when Jehovah asked Cain, "Where's your brother?" The earth is crying out with his blood. Yes, it soaks into the ground. Now, if you want to tell me that there's no 7-Up in my drink, or if I want to tell you that there's no 7-Up in my drink, I got to do two things. I got to make sure that there's absolutely no 7-Up in that drink. Glass is empty. Or that anything but 7-Up is in that drink. So if any of yous can come and tell me, any of yous in the nations out there, any of yous on this planet can come and tell me that somebody went around and drained all the blood out of all of the animals that have ever died on this planet before they were taken down into the earth to rot. Come and convince me of that. No. The blood is in there. It's rotting, dead blood. Then you think of our span of history and the wars and the murders and the death that we've read about. From beginning to end on this planet, the massacres, and the blood has been spilled. That's what it is down there. Oil is blood. Do you understand that? Dead blood. And that is exactly what these Satanists did 120, 130 years ago when men like Tesla were teaching us about free, positive, harmless electricity that could run things all over the place for free. They took it, they hid it, they institutionalized him. Other men they killed, men who could teach us about using water and hydrogen. And they convinced us to burn dead blood to fuel our cars and our dreams and our industries and our cities and everything about us. And one of their demons have given away the fact that when they burnt this blood, they knew that it was going to have a mental effect on us. Once it was in the air, it was going to put a barrier between our material and our spiritual, so that we'd be stuck in our material, having a harder time recognizing and identifying with our spiritual. They did this on purpose. And anybody who tried to come out and show us other ways to do it in a cleaner, fresher way, they killed. They shut up, they framed, they criminalized, they institutionalized, they demonized, they ridiculed. You know the story. You were there along the ride with me. You all know it. So they punch down into the earth now and the blood is coming up. And now they want to come and tell us something miraculous. They want to come and tell us they didn't have to punch down there. All those other places that we drained empty, they're filling back up. The earth is giving back. Well, yes, use your head, use your logic. 100 years ago when they started digging up everywhere, they started emptying these things out. They drained them down so that they looked empty, and sooner or later the straw was sucking air. Yeah. But right away, at the same time, they were killing. The machine was going ka-ka-chung, ka-chung, man. Since before World War I, this planet has been killing on a scale for the last 100 years that has never been seen in all of human history. Billions upon billions of people killed. You're going to convince me that they were all bled first and that the blood is collected up somewhere separate? No. You've also eliminated and made extinct over half of the species that Jehovah created and gave to us. All of those animals are dead. There's that blood too. Is it any wonder that it's filling back up again? And we're into this century and we're off killing again at a pretty good rate. No, at this rate, there is no such thing as peak oil. It makes me want to puke. You're wondering why it's fucking red in the water? That's why it's red in the water. Because when they asked him what are the signs of the ends of this time, after he finished telling them the signs, he said this is why the worst will be demanded of this generation, this last generation. Because we've spilled the blood of all the prophets, all the saints. Because we friggin' stuck pipes down in there and sucked it out and went driving with them. Try looking at your car the same way now. I'm a witness against all of you. You didn't want to listen. You think judgment has just become on the United States? It's come on all of us, the planet. They're using this core exit now. They've had 200 years to mess with science. Some people are saying, no, the water's going to separate and go up into the clouds and the oils will stay there. No, they've had 200 years to find out how things really work and bullshit you to death and muddy the water so you can't understand nothing. But I understand this. This core exit, it helps the oil and anything that's in it climb up into the clouds. So it's going to start raining down on all of us now. It's going to pollute all of our waterways, all of our systems, tributaries, rivers, streams, lakes. You understand what's happened now? What's been asked for and what's been brought? This is serious now. There's no more games. And no, I'm not here to ear tickle. And the responsibility I had to take in it, so I don't see who out there is any better than me, since I'm a piece of shit. If I had to take my responsibility, that I let them get away with this, that I put up with it, this long. So did you. You didn't stand up and do anything about it. You can make a million man march to Washington, but not a rat is going to go down there and crowd the beach and say, who the hell is whacking us? Want me to whack your head off? You're destroying my friggin' life. My children and my grandchildren. You're wondering why lightning struck the damn thing today? They could be using things like CIA agent and turning it into rubber and pulling it out. But they can't backward engineer that, maybe. Maybe they can't reclaim their gas and their oil and turn a profit. Are they trying to plug it? No. Are they trying to suck it up? No, no tankers. Thank you, Saudi Arabia. We don't need it. We don't care if it works. We want to suck 4% out of the top of it. And then you're wondering why the goddamn thing was struck with lightning. You people just don't want to get it! But you're gonna get it! For every one of you that is stubborn and refuses and is ungrateful for the breath you're sucking in right now to still be hearing me and knowing this. I'm not going to let anybody joke around with me anymore and fluff it up anymore. Because just now you're fish oil bottle pills to get your omega-3 to keep your brains level will be in the thousands of dollars if you can find it. What fish is going to live through that? Well, I sit here in Montreal tonight and they still pass every 20 minutes and either the sky is ribbed or it's scabbed. You all know what I mean. Ribs like waves, or patches like scabs. And that's when you know they're playing with their little friggin' antenna. How come there's not 6 million people going up to Alaska and surrounding that place and tearing it down? Oh no, we can't do that. No, eh? Well, there's the problem. For the one that comes and does it for you, he'll remember the stand you took. That's what you're responsible for. For just sitting there until it got this bad. There's no turning back from this. Do any of you realize that the life that you knew is now a legend? I went to the Caribbean. I went to the island of Grenada. They had a tree and a plant there called nutmeg that had the most beautiful flower. Really? Can I go there today? No, no. That no longer exists. Well, how can I be sure what you're telling me is true? I don't know. Let me look around and see if I can find a book with some pictures, because I swear to God, I'm not pulling your tail here. There really was this island with this plant. There really was such a thing called coconuts. Nobody's really grasped that it doesn't matter if it happens tomorrow or 2 years from now. 2012 is irrelevant at this point. A quick reminder for the satanic holidays that start on April 19th and follow through to the 6th of May. For anybody that wants to doubt that this has to do with Jehovah and Jesus and Lucifer or Satan. Some holidays. The 19th of April, 1993. The Waco, Texas sacrifice. April 19th, 2005. This is your host, Lugnuts. I don't know exactly what to call this second half. I know that it's still a witness against the nations. A witness to this. I picked up a book from a friend a few years ago who had been given this book. She stated to me at the time that she had read a bit of it and that it was too much for her. But due to the things I was now talking to her about, she thought I might be interested in it. I was probably in my second year of researching this at this time, so that I knew quite enough to know that what she was talking to me about, what she was interested in, was more of the misdirection. She was going along the lines of Oprah and Deepak Chopra. And so I warned her. I promptly warned her to watch out for who it was she was letting tickle her ears, so to say. She remained in contact with me, and she is a dear friend to this day. She's a member of this site. She's completely changed her life. She has accepted Jesus. And she has become a true sister. The book is entitled The Holy Blood and the Holy Grail by Michael Bajan, Richard Ley, and Henry Lincoln. It is a propagandist piece, for sure, because after having read it, what's quite obvious is that they're slanted in their views. They've been trained at CEGEPs and universities, and they also work for them, and that's where they do all their research. And so they're pretty sure they're right. They're trying to ascribe to the fact, and this is one of the giveaways with these Satanists, these Luciferians, that they're a joke, is that
Supposedly, all of the rulers throughout time have been related to either the Jews from Abraham on, or, as the most recent ones, from Jesus himself. And he had married Mary Magdalene and had children and brought them to France. So you get to see, if you've read your Bible and if you know the truth, you get to see through stuff rather quickly. That's first of all. They also seem to have a problem with Paul. And I understand why they have a problem with Paul. I understand why everybody has a problem with Paul. Your common sense should tell you why everybody has a problem with Paul. Nobody wants to go near the apostles or touch them with a 10-foot pole because they were there and they touched Jesus and saw Jesus and knew Jesus. And it's funny how nobody questions them. But they want to question Paul because he was the first man of the nations to have been blessed with the Holy Spirit and the understanding, and to bring it to the nations instead of the Jews. For as he stated, when his sight had come back to him and Jesus gave him his commission, he did not go off into a meeting with a bunch of men to make sure that everything that he was going to do was all right. He immediately took off and began speaking of what he knew from his heart to be the truth for 3 years before he went into meeting with any group of people. And when he came and met those group of people, the real Jews and the apostles, they couldn't find anything to say to him, because there was nothing that he had done that was wrong. So this book tries to tell us that it is Paul that slanted all the attention away. One of the facts of the matter is, they give themselves away as being twisted and funny when they'll tell you that there's no such thing as Jehovah, there's no such thing as Jesus, Moses meant nothing, Abraham meant nothing, the Jews mean nothing. But they want to tell you that they're related to the Jews. They want to tell you that they're related to Jesus. They want to tell you that they're related to Moses. They want to tell you that they're related to Abraham. They want to tell you that they are these children of these men. And then when you look through, it appears that along the lines they do, yes, they can trace themselves back just as we can. But they are not hiding a bloodline that has anything to do with being related to Jesus. They are hiding a different bloodline. You understand this? They are hiding a bloodline that proves that they are the descendants of the serpent. You see, one of the dead giveaways in the beginning of the Bible is the fact that when they sin, they're going to feel guilty appropriately and according to their sin. So when they sinned, they did not cover over their heads or their eyes or their shoulders or their breasts or their arms or their hands with gloves or their shoes with feet or their legs with pants. They covered over their private parts. This is where the guilt issued from. So it later goes on to say that Adam had intercourse with his wife Eve. And it says that she had a son and she named him Cain. And she states, "I have had a son with the aid of Jehovah." Because Eve is no different from any of us. Nothing if but for Jehovah. But this does not mean that Jehovah had wanted her to have a child this way, for they were never supposed to touch that tree and that knowledge. And so it says that Adam had intercourse with his wife, and she proceeded to have his son and name him Cain. Later, she had another son and named him Abel. After Cain kills Abel, it is stated, "Then Adam had intercourse with his wife Eve again, and she had Seth." So what we have to take note here of is the fact that it was not said that Adam had intercourse with Eve again, and then she had Abel. It didn't say that. It said that she had intercourse with Adam, and she had Cain, and then later she had Abel. She had two children in her belly, and one was born later. And the first son was the seed of the serpent. Nimrod was of the seed of the serpent and of the seed of Cain. And he persecuted the sons of Seth heavily, as is noted in the book of Enoch. Do you understand this? Now this book, Holy Blood and Holy Grail, it serves a lot of purpose aside from that. Because for a long time, I've wanted to write a blog, a couple of blogs, to show you all how education itself is based in Luciferianism, occultism, and esoteric thought. This book proves it through their own research, with their full list of bibliography in the back, that I can go and research everything myself, where they state over and over again, whether it's the Freemasons, the Rosicrucians, the Templars, the Knights Templar, the Order of Saint-Sacrement, the Order of Fleur-de-Lis, the Prieur de Zion. It doesn't matter what the secret society is or where it comes from. It doesn't matter about the educational center or where it comes from. The beginning of the Great Renaissance. Yes, the church finally opened up everything it had, but it still kept back the good information like the Gospel of Thomas, the Book of Adam and Eve, and the Book of Enoch. But it would now let you read all the stuff that was written about the devil and alchemy and black magic and Merlin the Magician. That was no problem. And that was the Renaissance. I can prove this just by going through this book. I can also prove the beginnings of the Catholic Church and how they were infiltrated as early as 180 and were already beginning to twist things and turn things from what Jesus and the prophets and the apostles actually taught. So it's amazing the things that you come across in life. And what you can get from them if you've read your Bible and you follow common sense and your heart and right and wrong. Most of the time, if you keep it simple, you can see through everything. And that was what the Book of Thomas said, the Gospel of Thomas, that in these end times, people would see everything, and at first it would hurt. Oh yes, it hurt. It was rough. I will not deny it. I'm a witness to these nations. It was rough to find this stuff out. But afterwards, yes, you are felt very powerful. You finally understand everything. You're not confused anymore. You can see everything exactly for what it is when other people are still walking around going, I wouldn't be too sure. We're going to have to wait and see. Nothing has been proven yet. When you know damn well that's what was. Okay? You want to laugh about conspiracies? The very first conspiracy is right there in the Bible. The whole reason that he had her go after it. The whole reason Lucifer went after her. She was weak. He knew they were going to reproduce like all the other animals. He wanted to mess up the bloodline. There have been conspiracies all through time. You want to hear about a conspiracy? We'll start by saying that the word theory has been abused beyond belief, because theory is when something is just an idea and it hasn't been proven. The amount of things that I look around in my life at right now, right outside this window, that are fact, that are reality, that are right there, that are written in the Protocols of Zion, and that are written in Silent Weapons for a Quiet War, and that are written in all those other government documents from the secret government and the various governments that helped them write it, that clowns still want to walk up to me now and say they're just theories. I'm a witness against all you hypocrite ridiculers. For it was prophesied that ridiculers would come with their ridicule, according to their hearts and hard-heartedness. But I'll tell you now about a conspiracy. I have been conspiring since the age or two or three, against all of yous, all the nations, all the hard-headed, hard-necked, hard-hearted people. See, I was taught about Jehovah early.
And it's true in the Gospel of Thomas when it says if you ask a child tells you exactly what it is, and they are not lying one bit. Okay? Because when I read the Bible, I didn't read it when I was young, but I was taught about Jehovah, and I was taught enough to know that He gave us everything for free, that He was just, that He was love, and that everything He did made sense. And to look past all of you people at the world itself, even at that time in the 70s, with all the crap that Lucifer and your preferred ignorance had done up until that point, I could still look at this world and nature and say, yes, I see it. When I go get my free blackberries, when I pick apples out there, when I know that I could probably pull honey out of a tree because there's a beehive there, fish in the river that I can pull out without asking anybody. No, I had a full understanding of who my real father was. But I turned your people, all you humans, you had all given up. You're all making excuses. You prefer to live in pain and misery and say it has to be this way, it has to be this. You'll understand when you grow up. And no, I didn't, right then and there, I didn't understand. But I knew that all of you didn't think like me, couldn't think like me, wouldn't think like me. I knew I was alone. I wanted to abandon it. But immediately, I began to conspire against all of you. I knew that I had to go underground. I had to accept my role as nothing, for that's what I was classified as in life. Nothing. So I took that role. And I even took it low profile. I didn't have nothing to say to nobody. You understand? And as I went along my journey, there was only one that I ever conspired with. Jehovah. The true God. He was the only one I would talk to about that I was actually doing this. When the world would tell me to act this way, I would have a talk with Jehovah, and then I would act my way. When they told me don't do this, that depended, you know. If I thought I was supposed to do this or that, I talked to Jehovah about it, and I did what I wanted. I didn't get your education in your world the same way. I got the same damn education. Sorry if it hurts you and you're angry about it, but I got the education anyways. My way. When I went to work, I didn't just take one job. I took all your abuse, I took the firing, I took the name calling. I took people looking at me as irresponsible and heartless and blind and stupid. But I accumulated my knowledge, my global knowledge. I went in all the different industries and I spotted my enemy and what he was doing and how he was doing and how he was using things and how things worked. My Lord Jehovah led me to find everything that I needed to know my way, not your way. I stayed away from the law. I didn't get arrested. I didn't try selling drugs. I didn't get in bar fights. I didn't get drunk in public. I didn't speed. I didn't fight people. I didn't gamble. I didn't deal with hookers, prostitutes. I dealt with the people I had to get the thing that I needed to get me through. I'm not proud of that, but I knew how to keep my distance enough that I know when a police officer calls up my name on a file of a computer today, he does not have very much to read at all, except for maybe what I've been doing in the last year. And there's nothing on his file that ever can say that I'm a threat to an ant. I wouldn't give it to you. I didn't go to any of your psychologists or your experts when I had troubles, because I saw that they couldn't answer any of my problems, but I could certainly answer theirs by buying their prescriptions and paying for their services and being led around by the nose for years to never figure out what was really going on,
and to blame myself for my sad, sad state, instead of ever blaming the world for what was really going on. Yes, I conspired, and I got away with it. And I'll tell you this. You thought I was weak. You thought I was weak. I was terribly weak. And without even realizing it, I embarked on a journey to have you butt heads with me so many times. Weak, when you crushed my head on the school bus? Weak, when you had me cut open with glass? Weak, when I was called names, when I was fired from my jobs, when I was treated like a dog? I was weak, eh? Just because I wouldn't let you provoke me. The few times that I would let you provoke me, my father would discipline me every time and show me, no, you don't become like them. Don't ever sink to their level. Don't try and get revenge like them. Every time, and I love it now. It is a blessing to me. Do you understand that? Because you thought I was weak. And you've thrown everything at me. And you've had me on the edge so many times. You spent all this money. You killed all these men and women. All these man hours, all this energy expended. You lost. We are not weak. The one sitting here on the chat room listening to me. We're not weak. We know who's weak. The one who has to do all of this. The one who has to bring it to all of this. That's who's weak. No, we're not fooled anymore. We know that we're not the weak ones. We know that we're not the sick ones, we're not the inferior ones. And we're not the ones to be afraid of. It's you out there, Lucy. You and your little children that are weak. I have pity for you. You are cowards. Professional temper tantrum cowards. But irregardless, you lost. And you tried your best with me. But you lost. Do you understand that? To this day, I stand for Jehovah. To this day, I know he's right. I know his son came and died for me. And all the people listening here. All the people that want to know, and all the people that don't want to know. And there's nothing you can do about it. You knew it was going to be that way. So you started messing with history before he even showed up. So that you could try and show people, look, it's a story. It's all just a story that's been told before. Yes, you knew what was coming. You knew what you were going to bring it to. Your father told you. Because he was your father first, before he was our father. I'm not stupid, you see. When you go to those early books, when you go to Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, what blew my mind was reading the account where he keeps telling them, if you keep sinning, I will strike you 7 times more so that this and that and that and the other thing will happen. And if you continue sinning, I will strike you 7 times more until that and that and that happens. And he keeps going until he says, you get to this point that I'll send you into exile. And the land will pay off its Sabbath for all those years. 10 years for a year. Sabbath is seven. 7 years means 7 years. You go on to Kings 1 and Kings 2 and Samuel 1 and Samuel 2, and you read the complete account of the Jews from that account in the book of Judges all the way up until the Exodus, the transportation to Babylon. Yes, they would sin more and more, and it would get seven times worse, and it would get seven times worse, until eventually they were taken into captivity, and for 7 years the land remained barren to pay back its Sabbath. So if the Father told us puny humans what would happen if we didn't listen, and because we didn't listen, not because of him, because we didn't listen, that's exactly what happened. If he was your father, which I know he is, he loved you, he told you what was going to happen if you didn't listen. You didn't listen. And you took what he told you, and you tried to use it to make it look like the story of Jesus was here first. But no, you're not dealing with the fool here, with a child. You're dealing with a real human being who's proud that that's the way Jehovah made him here on the earth, the way it's supposed to be, where I belong, not in the stars. Okay? Now in the book of Thomas, when he mentions about if you go to a child, this is my advice to many of you. See, a lot of my ideas I got because I didn't stay away from children's books. So to give you guys an idea for whatever time we have left, for whatever time we have left on this planet now that divine judgment is here, it's on, it's time, it's now. If you happen to have some spare time, there's a couple of books you can check out. Watership Down, either the book or the movie. Lovely little story about rabbits. Has some of the demonic esoteric teachings in it. You can see it by the symbolism and whatnot. But I've always told you the enemy gives tricks away. So you take the first instance when the rabbits are living in their place and they just feel they have to get up and leave. And it's one of the rabbits, one of the baby rabbits, that feels that he has to leave. And he gets this premonition, this feeling. And all the other ones, they want to laugh at him and tell him, no, no. Right away, as you see in the movie, that when they leave, and some others that do manage escape meet up with them, what do they tell them? That the place was tilled, was destroyed, and the rabbits that stayed there and laughed at that funny feeling died. So sometimes it's good to listen to a friend who's getting a funny feeling instead of laughing at him all the friggin' time. That's how prophets work. Deal with it. It doesn't always go according to the way you want. After that, they happen into a warren where there's a bunch of rabbits that just want to stay there because life is lovely. They get food given to them every day. They have places to stay. They have women given to them. It's just that every now and then, one of them is taken. But we all get taken sometime. You just have to accept it and live it. Live with it. Yeah. My goodness. Isn't that about two-thirds of you out there? Just live with it as long as they just take one of us from time to time. Doesn't that sound like the world you live in right now? No. I won't stay there and take free food on the risk that when I go out next week, the snare's over my hole and I'm friggin' supper for the farmer. So they take off to a life that's free. And they're even forced to battle for their lives, and they outthink it, and they end up doing it. So you can get messages from the enemy. Another book. I don't really appreciate the series, Chronicles of Narnia, because it's a whole laugh in your face to the reality of what's going on here. But in one of the books, they're sailing the islands to go to find the edge of the world. And they get to the last island. And there's a table there set with all kinds of food.
And there's old men there. Three old men with beards. Because they've been sleeping so long that they look like stumps of fir. And at dawn, a man comes out of a rock, shining, with his daughter. And they ask who he is, and his name is Ramadu. And he's a star. And he's done something wrong, so he's been exiled to the island until his time is served, and then he imagines that the lion will return to the stars. And they're talking and talking about their business and whatnot. And along the way, one of the children asks, "What did you do to come down here to get exiled?" And he says, "Foolish human, who are you to know the mistakes of a star?" Well, that's a message. That's Lucifer giving you one right in your face there. Who are we? Well, if you read the beginning of the Bible, Jehovah tells you about a star named Lucifer who fell. And his name changed to Satan. You understand? And he told us what his sin was. Pride and envy and greed. And it turned into everything else. Murder and mayhem, as you can see. Death and destruction. So you see what it all leads to. So it appears to me, if our Lord let us know that, oh yes, we are supposed to know the mistakes of the stars. Because if you take these sins of greed and envy and jealousy and strife and murder, well, look around the planet today. It seems to me us men and women are capable of these same sins. So if we ever want to regulate anything in our lives, we better be paying damn attention. Doesn't matter who it is that does it. But if the Lord didn't want us to know, he wouldn't have told us. So in your face, Lucy. Another book that I've been searching for so long, because I couldn't remember the title, but I just found it recently, and you guys can look up and Google it tonight. It's called The Story of the Dun Cow. And it's a story of the animals before man comes along. And it's a story of Chanticleer, a rooster, who is kind of like the leader of the story, but he's an inept leader. He's prideful, boastful, and privy to mistakes and error. There's a dog. The dog kind of represents Jesus. He feels our pain. He cries for us. And in the end, he ends up sacrificing himself for us. And in the book, he's even rejected. And then there's the enemy, Worm. I read this book when I was 11 years old in grade 6. And it's been with me my whole life. It's been books and stories like these that old. Right is stood up for. It just takes somebody to stand up for it. That's all. And some people, I guess, they don't feel like they're worthy of standing up. I'll pray for you. I wish mercy upon you. Because if you're anything like me, a piece of rat feces, you're worth it. Our Father told us. He knows of every sparrow that falls to the ground. We're worth much more than some birds. And if you've been around on this site long enough, you should know that already. So this is going to end it for tonight. I thank everybody who came and joined me here. I hope you enjoyed it all. I hope I wasn't too overbearing, but I'm not here to tickle ears. We've had enough of that. It's time to face up to what we've done, face our responsibilities, and prepare to meet our Maker. And I, for one, am proud to be a member of this site, a member of these shows, and a member of these people that have tried so hard to pour back into Babylon double of what she gave us. For those of us that recognize that this was Revelations 18, not Romans 13. For Fearless Broadcasting and 12160 megahertz, this is Lugnuts, and I'm going to finish with a prayer tonight.
Our loving Father Jehovah, who is in heaven, may your name be blessed, and may your will come to pass on earth as it has in heaven. I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to witness to these people tonight, Jehovah. I hope that something lodges in their ears and in their hearts and in their minds to make the appropriate change and recognize you finally and turn to you as the only solution. Because I don't want to be the solution. I know they don't want to be the solution either. We shouldn't really have needed a solution when we look back on it, because nobody should have ever questioned you to begin with. We cannot deal with that now. We're in the here and the now. And it is time to stand up and say that regardless of all of this history and this time and all the tricks that our enemy has played against us and all of the people that have betrayed us, all the weakness and sadness and sorrow, your power and your strength have overcome this now. In these end times, you certainly have fulfilled your promise to uncover everything that was hidden and show us everything we needed to see to make our proper decisions and put our hearts right. And if your day of judgment should come tomorrow, please remember me, Jehovah. And please remember what we've done and what was done to us to try and stop us, and that this never happened again. That your authority and your wisdom never be questioned again. I'm truly grateful for everything you've ever shown me, for everything you've ever given me. I'm grateful for all these people that are sitting here tonight, actually giving me their time. Because it's your time, Jehovah. And I look forward to everything that is about to come. And I'm grateful for everything that ever was, because it would all be for nothing without you. You fulfilled every promise that I've ever asked for. And you fulfilled every dream and every hope I ever had. You truly are a great and wonderful God. I ask of all of these things, and that you protect my friends at heart here tonight through these judgmental times that are about to come upon us. Watch over them. Keep them steering straight. Keep their hearts and minds strong. Reinforce them every day, Jehovah. For you have truly found for yourself a true class of warrior that is worthy of you. I ask all of this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Have a good night, everybody. Rest well. Stay safe. No fear.